Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage takes the frustrations out of getting a mortgage by letting you safely share your financial information with the touch of a button. Get approved online in minutes at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. With summer upon us, it's hard not to feel the pull of the American road trip. To get in the car and drive anywhere across the highways of America. With low gas prices, much of the nation is getting behind the wheel again. And whether you're setting out to drive across the country or find a trip close to home, the open road awaits. This hour on Point, fasten your seatbelt. We are in search of the greatest American road trips. You can join us on air or online. Where are you heading this summer? Do you have a plan? Do you just go with the flow? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me from San Francisco, California is Jamie Jensen, travel writer who has road tripped almost 500,000 miles across America, author of Road Trip USA, Cross-Country Adventures on America's Two-Lane Highways. Jamie, welcome to On Point. Nice to have you.
Oh, it's very nice to be with you. Thank you.
So gas is cheaper than it's been in a decade. Forget those airline hassles. The road trip is back. What's the appeal? What makes a good American road trip?
Oh, that classic American desire for the freedom of the American, of the open road. You can basically do what you want on your own schedule, and there's no TSA lines to go make you take your shoes off all day long.
So what defines a road trip? Is a road trip, you know, if you go to the beach for a day, is it halfway across the country, or is it the spirit of a road trip, just getting out of the house and getting on the open road?
Yeah, I think more the second. A lot of people, like, think a road trip has to be this huge, great drive. But to me, it's a sort of state of mind where your time is your own. You're out there. If you see a giant dinosaur by the side of the road, you can pull over and see it. So it's not just about the driving. It's also about stopping and smelling the roses and checking out the souvenir stands.
You road tripped almost 500,000 miles across the country in your day. In all that mileage, which road trip stands out to you?
Ooh, usually the one I'm taking at the time. The book is full of all the highlights. These are 40,000 miles of the really greatest American highways that link together. In Road Trip USA, it's a sort of alternate shadow network to the interstates, so you can get wherever you want to go. But I've been doing this for more than 30 years, which makes me feel very old to add it all up.
And what's your favorite part of it? What do you like the best?
Different times of year, I like the driving, then stopping at a diner, then walking down to the river and soaking my feet and taking a little snooze while the birds sing. And so it's the combination of things. And then getting back in the car and going to watch a minor league baseball game and sucking down a milkshake on a hot summer's afternoon. All these things are what makes a road trip great. And if you like music or literature or history or hiking, you know, all these things are there if you hop in the car and go somewhere.
So people might think of Route 66, for example, or driving down PCH, the California Coast is among the most iconic or well-known highway routes. Be our tour guide here. Give us a hidden gem of a road trip.
Well, Route 66 is the classic, but I think it's mainly because it has such a good theme song. I mean, get your kicks on Route 66. That's a million-dollar slogan right there, isn't it? But
yes.
I think what I do try to do in Road Trip USA is say wherever you're starting, you can have that sort of Road Trip USA, the Route 66 experience, the small-town America, that, you know, the fun stuff that's out there. So the driving becomes a pleasure, because for so many people, especially those poor commuters who are heading off to work in their car, it really sort of takes away the joy of driving. Whereas if you head the opposite direction, get out of town. So, I mean, I'm an LA boy, so I grew up, in the backseat and driving around, and Big Sur was always my place. But Route 66 to hit the desert, you know, all these places are out there. And so it sort of evolved over the years. I have, you know, the favorite route in the East Coast. I really like, some people think it's obscene, but I drive the Appalachian Trail. You know, rather than spend 3 months to walk it, I spend 2 weeks and drive the whole thing, get out at the high points. And you can do that with a car. It really does kind of open up all sorts of wonderful places.
I cherry picked a few from your list, some of that were interesting to me. The Iowa section of the Lincoln Highway, the old-time small town of America at its best, right? This is America's first cross-country road, connected New York and San Francisco way back when.
Yeah, 1913, I think they opened it up. It was on what was going to be the opening of the Panama Canal and a celebration of the end of the Civil War. It was only 50 years since the end of the Civil War, so it went through Gettysburg, which is one of the amazing parts in Pennsylvania, goes to the Dutch country. But in Iowa, you really are, especially in election year, if you want to know what makes America tick, drive the Lincoln Highway across Iowa and stop for pork tenderloin sandwiches and at all the little flea markets. And there's just all this, you know, really strong local culture that, you know, people in the cities kind of forget that really is half of America, are the, you know, the small town values that we hear so much about in the campaigns.
What about the Blue Ridge Parkway? About 469 miles through those beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Western Virginia and North Carolina. Not a billboard as far as the eye can see, right?
No, Jane? Absolutely. I mean, the parkways were one of my favorite products of the U.S. government. And in this 100th anniversary year of the National Park Service, they're really doing this fabulous celebration. And the Blue Ridge Parkway is a national park. It was carved out of what was very poor Appalachia, and they made a highway, and it built over 30 years. And parts of it are just spectacular engineering, where you're actually sort of floating above the trees. There's parts in North Carolina which are just some of the best roads in the world, and motorcyclists love them. So I have a following both of motorcyclists and RVers, so I have to do a little of both. But Blue Ridge Parkway is part of the Appalachian Trail, so you can pull off to the side, hike for a little while, get back in the car. It goes to places like Asheville, North Carolina, one of these fabulous towns where the local minor league team is called the Tourists, because it used to be this great resort town. And it's Mayberry RFD country. There's all these things that once you start looking closely at the map and get less worried about getting somewhere and just enjoying where you are, the world just becomes a much friendlier, more fun place.
We're going to go down your list through this hour. I want to bring another voice to join us through this. From New York, Paul Brady, senior editor at Condé Nast Traveler. In 2011, he took a nearly 10,000-mile road trip across 30 states. Paul, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
So tell us about your 10,000-mile road trip. Where'd you go?
Well, I started in Chicago, which is admittedly an odd place to start a cross-country road trip. But, sort of fate dictated that I would leave from Chicago, went back up to New England, down the east coast of the United States. I saw the final liftoff of the space shuttle outside Orlando and Cape Canaveral, then headed west, saw the Four Corners, and ended up in L.A. It was a remarkable trip and hit 30 states.
How do you plan such a long trip? How do you make sure that you see all that you want to see, but you still leave some room for, a little serendipity along the way?
Yeah, I think everybody loves the serendipity of a road trip and the idea that you're self-directing and you're able to find things and make discoveries on your own. But for a super long trip like that, 10 weeks, I actually used a spreadsheet, and using something like Google Documents or Evernote to organize your trip and organize those places that you want to go was really, really helpful. And it served me well, but also left the door open. I would try to do only one or two things that were must-sees on the trip, and then everything else could kind of fall in place from there.
Mm. At the end of your long road trip, you wrote, "It's often said that driving across America helps you realize we're really all the same. My trip showed me that we're all incredibly different." What do you mean by that?
Well, I just think that this is such an enormous country, and we know that academically, but to really plod along, I think I averaged over the course of the trip about 40 miles an hour. To really move at that slow pace and notice the differences in everything from dialect to cuisine to architecture to history, there's really so, so much to see here in the United States that road trips are a great way to get in touch with your own country and see the beautiful things that we have on offer here and appreciate the diversity of the enormous country that we have.
Mm. Jamie Jensen, jump back in here. What are your favorite historical routes? Because one of the interesting things about road trips is that they can often parallel, American history, right? How did you incorporate historical details into the experience of your road trips?
Yeah, no, I do that. I follow the Lewis and Clark Trail. And a lot of these, again, are marked national park trails where if you get off the freeways, you can go to the parks where they camped, 200 and some years ago, and incorporate that in. So, traveling along at 70 miles an hour in your air-conditioned car, you don't really get a sense of what it was like for them hiking off and paddling off into the great unknown. But you can still, when you get out of the car and walk for a half mile along the trail, you can pretty much experience what life was like, what the rivers were like in a lot of places. I also follow, the Cherokee Trail of Tears across the South. I do a lot being an L.A. boy. The South Desert Southwest is one of my favorite places to explore. And Mesa Verde National Park, these places where, pre-Columbian cultures were so impressive, and they're unchanged for nearly 1,000 years now. And what's nice, the historic Route 66 passes by some of these places, and you're not on your own. Other people have visited. There is the Park Service will open these places up. There are road signs to get you to them. So it's a nice combination of having the modern comforts, but really getting a sense of how it was to live and explore. And Civil War battlefields are some of my favorite places to explore, where they're preserved, they're open space, which is so precious in so many parts of the country. So to do a little bit of this in your own backyard and get to know these, national historic sites, historic trails. And there's a lot of information once you kind of open the door to the ranger station. They will really fill your brain with all sorts of great ideas.
You mentioned modern comforts. Where do you sleep? Where do you stay along the way if your road is sort of winding and you're not quite sure where you're going to end up?
I make a real point of searching out the mom-and-pop motels, especially the ones. I have a fantastic collection of very old travel guides from the 50s and 60s and 70s and old road atlases, and seeing the places that are still in business, and the Wagon Wheel Motel, places like that that are, still owned sometimes by the same family for the third or fourth generation. And to be honest, one of the things that's exciting now about traveling around, for a while it seemed like small-town America was under threat from Walmart and sprawl and all that. Mm-hmm. But the same thing that's kind of showing this revival of downtown American cities is happening in small town America too. And a lot of the courthouse squares are coming back, and the bookshops are being reopened. And there really is this kind of renaissance of appreciation for the Americana and the local character, local food, local beers, all these things that kind of disappeared are coming back strong. And it's fantastic.
Paul, real quick before the break, on your 10,000 mile road trip, did you ever break down? Any unexpected detours?
I didn't have any mechanical trouble, but I will note that the one great innovation for road trips these days is the smartphone, which makes it so easy to find information about those exact mom-and-pop shops and hotels that we're talking about, and it's so much easier than it ever was, I think.
Mm. Paul Brady, Jamie Jensen, stand by. We're talking about the greatest American road trips this hour and where to go on your summer vacation. It's not too late. We go out here with Carefree Highway by Gordon Lightfoot, a song that was inspired by a stretch of Route 74 outside Phoenix. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Searching through the fragments of my dream shadowed sleep, I wonder if the years have closed your mind. I guess it must be wanderlust or trying to get free from the good old faithful feeling we once knew. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Carefree highway, you've seen the better days, the morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Carefree highway, let me slip away.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. That's Life is a Highway, originally by Tom Cochran, covered here by Rascal Flatts, because we are talking about American road trips from Route 66 to the Pacific Coast Highway to the Blue Ridge Parkway and more. You can join the conversation. What hidden gems did you discover on the road? What are your tips for getting the most out of it? For staying sane with a car full of kids? In this moment, from the end of the 2012 film On the Road, an adaptation of Jack Kerouac's book of the same name, Sal Paradise, played by Sam Riley, types out the last paragraph of the book.
In America, when the sun goes down and I sit in the old broken down River Pier watching the long, long skies over New Jersey, I sense all that raw land that rolls in one unbelievable huge bulge over to the West Coast, and all of that road going. And all the people dreaming in the immensity of it.
And Dolores Westfall is a 79-year-old senior deciding to spend her retirement on the road in her mobile home. She told the Los Angeles Times in January of this year that she lives for the mystery and the adventure that lies ahead.
What I love about the road is the country, the new people, the new places, the new challenges. And it's wonderful. You know, what's around the next bend? Who knows? And that's why I'm doing it.
All right, Jamie Jensen, what's around your next bend? Tell us about the $1 million highway out in Colorado's San Juan Mountains. Climbs to more than 10,000 feet?
Yeah, more like nearly 15,000 feet. It's an amazing highway with another great name, isn't it? The Million Dollar Highway. You just have to cruise it. And the name comes from, it's in the gold mining, silver mining country of southwest Colorado, in between what's now kind of known for ski resorts of Crested Butte and Telluride. But way back when, it was, you know, hardcore Wild West country out there. And this road was carved out and paved with mining gravels that ended up being full of gold ore. So the roadbed itself was worth $1 million. But it climbs way high in the San Juan Mountains, which is about the most pristine part of the Rockies. There's really no big city for anywhere nearby. And you just, most of the trails around there are Jeep trails, but it is a fantastic driving experience with amazing little towns at either end. There's Ouray, Colorado, which is a hot springs resort, which is another one of my favorite themes, to, after a long day in the saddle, to hop out and soak in a natural hot spring that's bubbling up from the volcanoes underground. Mm. And they had, if this were a little bit earlier in the summer, I would have recommended people go. They have a fabulous 4th of July there, where the local volunteer fire departments have a tug of war that turns into a water fight on Main Street. And it's just a fantastic sort of American experience.
That's Jamie Jensen, travel writer, author of Road Trip USA. And Paul Brady's also with us, senior editor at Condé Nast. Paul, you traveled 10,000 miles. How'd you eat? How'd you make sure you found the best local food spots, the watering holes, wherever you were?
Well, I ate pretty well, I have to admit. I would ask as many people as I could, you know, what's the local thing to eat around here? What's the local specialty? I really enjoyed on my trip trying all of the different variations of barbecue, everything from North Carolina style to Texas style. You know, there's a lot of great barbecue coming out of Florida right now. And then local beers, of course, once you park the car, obviously. But there's plenty of craft breweries around to try. And everybody is so proud, I think, across the country of their local products and their local heritage and how the history influences what it is that you're eating and drinking. And they're more than happy to share it with you. And the last point I'd make is farmers markets across this country are truly unbelievable, particularly in the summer, not just for the food, but also for the community and the opportunity to get to know local people.
Mm. Agree 100%. Let's go to Mac in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mac. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
So I just wanted to say I love the program, and road trips have a really special place in my heart. When my wife and I, then girlfriend, were kind of first starting to get together, we just used to hit the road and travel around central and western New York, really with no destination in mind. We would get completely lost, find something to eat that we'd never been. Maybe you'd go to as many antique stores as we could. And then when the sun went down, we'd head on back.
Excellent. Love it. Mac, thank you so much. Let's go to Kevin in New York City. Kevin, what's your story? Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Right.
Spent 3.5 weeks on the road, over 6,500 miles around the West Coast, predominantly. But on our return trip to New York City, you mentioned it during your remarks coming back from the break about the Blue Ridge Parkway. We decided, my girlfriend and I, to take the entire thing. So we started at the southern end of it in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, North Carolina side, camped out for the night and took off in the morning. It's beautiful. I think it's the oldest country interstate highway, 45 miles an hour speed limit the whole way. There's pull-offs for vistas every tenth of a mile. There's incredible waterfalls. And once you get past the mountains, you're just in beautiful farmland in Maryland and Virginia for the rest of the way. Absolutely incredible drive.
Mm, you paint a wonderful picture, Kevin. Thanks so much for calling. Here's Basie in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for a beautiful show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am planning a road trip from Atlanta to Alaska, Anchorage in Alaska. It's going to be the first time I'm doing anything of this sort. So I'm just wondering if your guests can give me any kind of tips logistically and so on. The difficulty I have is I am planning to drive there and fly back, and I'm finding it difficult to obtain transportation. There's no rental car that's going to do a one-way to Alaska. And so I have constraints in that regard. So
we have answers. We have answers, Bessie. Thank you so much, and have a great trip when it comes. Let's go, Paul Brady. What about this? Bessie wants to go from Atlanta to Alaska. He wants to drive there and fly back. What do you say about that?
Well, I'm really surprised that he can't find anyone willing to do a one-way rental, because to me, the one-way rental is sort of the secret of the rental car game, that you can get remarkable deals, you know, going one way and then flying home. And I think it's a great way not only to take a road trip and save some money, but also that wear and tear on your vehicle. So there might be some problems with trying to go across the border, in which case I might suggest, you know, stopping in Seattle and taking something called the Alaska Marine Highway System, which is part of the interstate system, but actually made up of ferries that can take you all along the beautiful fjords and coastline of Alaska, and maybe do the last leg on a sort of non-traditional road trip.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much, Basie. Here's Steve in Tennessee. Welcome to the program, Steve. Hi.
Hi, Jay.
Hi. Go ahead.
We recently did a – well, my wife and I recently had a road trip that I would recommend to anyone. You got 10 days, 2 weeks. We flew out to Vegas, and then we drove – got a rental car, drove up to Zion, spent the night there, did Zion, Bryce Canyon, went up to Arches National Park in the Moab area, had an incredible time there, hit Canyonlands on the way down, and then to Monument Valley, and ended up in the Grand Canyon.
Fabulous. That's
such an incredible trip. The vistas were incredible. It's like being on the moon in some places. Completely different from Tennessee.
Steve, thank you. I have actually done that. Zion National Park, Bryce, and mountain biking in Moab. There's nothing like it. Jamie Jensen.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite spots. And to take the time to stop, because there's so much history, as well as the incredible landscape. It doesn't look like anyone could live there because it's so inhospitable. But there are ancient ruins in almost all those places. And there's still quite a lot of Native American culture, especially in Arizona. There's the Hopi and Navajo are there. And so to get, you know, not just the landscape, but the people who live there. And I love Mormons. They're like my favorite people. They're like so friendly. And the towns, they have fantastic pie, which is one of my themes for a road trip, is coffee and pie is what I live on, as well as barbecue and all these other things. So that's a great trip. And I was going to say to the earlier caller about the one-way road trip rental car, what you can do, certain times a year, the car companies need their fleets moved, like from the southwest to the northwest. And you can get incredible deals on a one-way in February to drive a car from Arizona to Seattle or from Florida to New York. And it's like, I've got ones for $10 a week. And it was these deals, if you are a bit flexible, are amazing ways to save a lot of money as well as still have a great time. Mm.
Let me ask you both about traveling with kids, because for some families, the thought of being trapped in a car with you know, a family of screaming kids for hours on end is not quite the idea of a vacation. Here's one of America's favorite families, the Simpsons, on a bumpy road ride of their own. This is an all too familiar exchange between the kids, Bart and Lisa, and their dad, Homer.
Are we there yet?
No!
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 Are we there yet?
You little...
Homer, I think we're there.
Woohoo!
And speaking of Are We There Yet, this is a 2005 road trip movie showing the struggle between parents and kids when they're on the road. Here's Nick, played by Ice Cube, dealing with his son Kevin, played by Philip Bolden, who needs to go to the bathroom.
I have to pee.
What? No, 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 you do not have to pee. Didn't you just go back at the train station?
I tried to go, but there was a man standing next to me, so I just went away.
But look, man, all this open road. You can hold it. I know you can.
Oh, no, he can't. Jamie Jensen, you've got a couple of kids. What are some kid-friendly road trips?
Well, I think road trips in general are kid-friendly because you can pull off and find a place to go to the bathroom. The whole idea for me of the road trip is not the traditional dad is set on a destination, is going to get you there on schedule, but it's pulling off to go to the bathroom, to get a piece of pie, to go for a little walk. I've had, when I started this book, I had no children, and I now have 18-year-olds who are heading off to college. So in my 8 editions of writing this book and my 500,000 miles, I've had a lot of time of hearing, are we there yet? And it can be really nice. And I think one thing for family harmony is to actually let everybody in the car make some of the decisions and not just have the driver decide everything. It really is an interesting sort of way to have democracy at a very small scale. But kids are fun, you know, you can go to these weird little amusement parks like Dinosaur Land, one of my favorite wacky little amusement parks near the Shenandoah National Park west of D.C. It's just got, you know, 40-foot dinosaurs near Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
Love
it's kind
it.
Of the fabulous, fabulous spot. And you feel odd there without a kid. So if you've got kids along, you can go and act like a child for a while. And it's a real fantastic opportunity.
I'm looking at travelandleisure.com. These are some tips you wrote on that site, Jamie Jensen. Do your homework. Let the kids share control of the itinerary. Keep the car cozy. Keep the debris out. Kick it out and make it their spot. Pillows, blankets, all sorts of things. Give them jobs. Let the kids play navigator. Take lots of breaks and be spontaneous, JB Jensen.
Yeah, and one thing that people, I think, miss is the fun of a road trip is often the planning beforehand, sitting in a library, pulling books off the shelf to learn about the place you're going to be passing through, and then you know what you want to see. And it's truly educational, but it's also a good way to really sort of be open to the spontaneous things. So when you see that funny historical marker, you know what it means, and you know whether you want to track down that trail. And it does kind of sink in the mind that 5 years later, the kids will remind you of the funny things you did when you look through the photo albums.
Let's go to Peter in Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Peter. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I worked at McLean for 5 years, for 4 years on locked units. So after a while, I needed a break, and I decided to go on the road. I bought a Volvo, a 67 Volvo. Had a good engine, and then I went to junkyards, got parts for it, put it together, and it ran fine. So I set out on a six-month drive around the country, and it was so well planned. I was going to go north, but when I hit the end of the driveway, I heard about a rainstorm from the north, so I went south. So I went around the country clockwise and drove 117,000 miles, hitchhiked 4,000 miles, had a great time. And it's just what people have said. But the Rocky Mountains were just beautiful. And I was driving forever looking for these Rocky Mountains. It's flat land. There are no mountains. I keep looking at my Rand McNally World Atlas. And finally, I realize I've been looking at them. They were kind of bluish with clouds. Mm. And they were straight up. And I was there. It was like...
Spectacular.
They just appeared right out of the ground.
Spectacular. Peter, thank you so much. From a locked hospital unit to the open road. Fantastic. Thanks so much for calling, Peter. Paul Brady, jump back in here. You've done some solo road tripping. We talked about kids and families. How should a solo traveler get the most out of a road trip?
Well, I think some of the tips are sort of the same. And my number one piece of advice for people is to not try to overdo it. You know, Jamie talked earlier about the mentality of a road trip and having that open curiosity to the road and what you're finding along the way. And I think that's so important to not try to drive more than two or three or maybe four, if you're pushing it out west, hours a day, to really slow down and take your time and let the experiences happen and get out of the car. Because, you know, it's the memories that we make and the things that we see along the way that I think we often remember the most about a particular road trip. So when you're solo, I think that's all the more enhanced, right? You need to get out of the car and talk to people and meet locals, whether it's, you know, across a bar, at a baseball game, at a farmer's market. There's so many opportunities to chat with people and get to know locals. National parks, state parks are great for that too, where rangers are willing to give you tours and fill you in on what's going on. And then, of course, you know, there's always great podcasts that you can download to keep yourself company on those long stretches of road.
So what about particular themed road trips, Paul Brady, whether it be music or wineries or history? I mean, what are some of the best road trips in that score?
Well, yeah, there's a great connection between the national parks and road trips and all of the wonderful places that the highways can take you to see all of these natural wonders out there. But for me, you know, the Natchez Trace Parkway was a really wonderful musical road trip that was a segment of a larger road trip that I took. But going from Nashville to Natchez, you have this wonderful blues, you have R&B, you have the birthplace of Elvis Presley along the way. Just so many opportunities to hear music, experience music, and see where it sort of comes out of the ground and of the people who live in these places. And along the way, you have this wonderful drive down the Natchez Trace Parkway with natural beauty and cypress-filled swamps and these beautiful trees and bridges. So it all combines together for this very heady mix of culture and music that is just memorable years and years after.
You know, road trips can be fabulous, but Paul Brady, I'm thinking, have you ever had a moment out there on your 10,000-mile trip where you thought, what am I doing here out in the middle of nowhere?
I think that was somewhere between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. Yes, on a very sort of desolate stretch of interstate. But you do get a little lonely out there, particularly if you're by yourself. But I find that once you park the car and get out and start poking around with a little bit of curiosity, suddenly you realize why you're out there in the first place.
Paul Brady, Jamie Jensen, stand by. We're talking about how you can get the most out of your summer road trip anywhere in America. We're going to go out now with music, Take a Road Back. Take the Back Road, rather, about a man who's dreaming about getting off the highway while he's sitting in a traffic jam. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Yeah, makes me want to take a back road. Makes me want to take the long way home. Put a little gravel in my travel. Unwind, unravel.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century. Forget about digging through stacks of paperwork. This completely online process lets you safely share your bank statements and pay stubs with the touch of a button. Using a phone or tablet, you can get approved for purchase or refinance in just a few minutes. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. That's, of course, the iconic country music classic, I've Been Everywhere, performed by Johnny Cash. We're talking this hour about driving America's highways and the best places to road trip this summer. You can join the conversation. What's the road trip memory that stayed with you? What's your advice for first-time road trippers? I'm speaking this hour with Paul Brady, senior editor at Condé Nast Traveler, and with Jamie Jensen, author of Road Trip USA, Cross-Country Adventures on America's Two-Lane Highways. And joining me now from Washington is Jill Gonzalez, analyst at Wallet Hub, which is a personal finance website where she's analyzed the best and worst states for road trips in 2016. Jill, welcome. Nice to have you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So you've ranked all 50 states. You've come up with a list of the best and worst. What factors did you consider?
Yeah, so we tried to go about this as quantitatively as possible. So we've been hearing, I've been on the line, so I have heard some great stories. But, of course, it's hard to put those memories into metrics. So we did this by looking at the driving and lodging costs, the road conditions and safety, everything from car thefts to, of course, automobile accidents, and finally the fun stuff and the scenic attractions and byways.
So give me your top five. What are the top five places for road tripping this summer?
Top five, well, Oregon is number one. Of course, a lot of scenic byways, less congestion than California. Nevada after that, then Utah. North Carolina, kind of representing for the East Coast. And fifth, Minnesota.
Mm. Spent my summers on the Oregon coast. My mom's from there. Tell us what's so wonderful about Oregon.
Yeah, so as we said, I mean, once you get out west, gas does tend to creep up, so that's really the only hindrance here. But as far as road conditions and safety, not a lot of potholes out there. Again, less congestion, which leads to less traffic accidents, not a lot of crime or car thefts out there, too. And as we said, I mean, the number of scenic byways in Oregon rivals that of California. Mm-hmm. There's about 10 or so less, but you still have a lot of options here, whether you're on the coast, whether you're inland, kind of seeing all of the great shrubbery. There is not much that you're going to miss out there.
Mm. You might surprise some people that California is pretty low on your list, number 22. Why is that?
Yeah, that is some feedback we've gotten across the board. It ranked 22nd. It was number one in terms of those scenic attractions. Of course, the most scenic byways than any other state out there. But as far as driving, again, gas prices are more expensive out west than east or in the Midwest. Also, if you are lodging, even if you're camping, it gets more expensive in California. You know, this is really a road tripper's dream, and the tourism industry knows that and takes full advantage of that. So if you're either stopping at even a 3-star hotel or if you are camping overnight, there's certainly a cost for that, and you will pay a pretty penny out in California.
You've also thought about some apps that we can use to help save money while road tripping. Tell us about that. What should we download?
Yeah, I think Paul mentioned earlier, you know, now that we have smartphones, it's easier than ever to really be accessing the cheapest gas prices. A good app for that is My Gas Buddy. You know, you might be, I think everyone gets this anxiety when they're traveling down the road and they know they need to fill up. And they say, you know what, the next place I'm going to hit, I'm going to fill up there. And then you're on your way and 2 miles down the road is one for 10 cents cheaper.
So My Gas Buddy is a good app to have.
Yes, My Gas Buddy will solve that problem. Waze, I think a lot of people know about it, but if not, it's really a great and better alternative to whatever standard GPS comes on your phone or Google Maps. Because if you do come across any traffic on a major highway, this knows exactly where to take you on all of the back roads that you probably did not know exist. Mm. So Waze, W-A-Z-E. Is another great app to have. And then finally, if you're more tired than you thought you would be and you definitely need a hotel maybe sooner than you thought you would, Hotel Tonight, I mean, I use it here, even in D.C., it can get you great hotels for really cents on the dollar. I've gotten hotels in D.C., very expensive place, for $20 a night.
Jill Gonzalez, analyst at Wallet Hub, thanks so much for the information. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Go back to the phones. Jen in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Jen. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
So I had a really lucky experience. I was able to take some time off from working and took a three-week road trip by myself from Colorado and drove all the way across the country to New Jersey, spent some time there, and then went down down to North Carolina and then Georgia. But I hit some really interesting places that it was sort of a blend between on the map, but kind of a little bit obscure landmark kind of events or locations that I really recommend. And I feel like there's just so many that I can think of.
So quickly, what was your favorite spot? What was number one?
Number one would probably be hitting Chattanooga. And being surprised by some of the things that they have there. They've got a beautiful place called the Rock Garden, which is a man-made rock garden. It's on the top of a cliff, and you're basically walking around the top of this ledge. It's very big. I can't do it justice, but spending time there in the middle of a thunderstorm after all of the tourists ran and hid, I got a poncho and wandered around by myself in the rain. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, and
sounds fantastic. Jen, I'm going to get some others on here. I'm so glad you got in. Thank you very much. Here's Carol in Pacific Junction, Iowa. Hi, Carol. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Go ahead.
Well, I have a philosophy that every trip is a road trip because I love to dive and I live in a beautiful part of the country. But one of my favorite trips, when I used to go see my mom out in California, I would take Highway 50 across Nevada, which they call the loneliest road in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-lane, and you may go for, at least when I drove it, an hour between seeing another car.
Mm.
And it was just spectacular, just the emptiness. It makes you really appreciate how large this country is and how small we are as little tiny people.
Love your thoughts, Carol. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to move on, get a few more in here. Michael in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Michael. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I just wanted to share a little bit. When I was growing up, we had my dad was big into car culture, and he always talked about Route 66 and how much he loved the show and the idea of Route 66. And for his 66th birthday, I actually wound up surprising him, kind of kidnapping him, actually, and taking him on a Route 66 trip from Chicago to Santa Monica Pier.
Mm.
I just wanted to share with people, you know, I'd planned that trip extensively, all the great places to go, all the things to do. And for me, it was going to be a real way to bond with my dad. And unfortunately, I kind of seemed like I waited too long. And I guess I'd like people to know that if you're thinking about a trip like this, you want to do it. Just do it. Don't put it off. Like, it can be a great experience, but you really need to just do it, right? Don't wait too long.
Love it, Michael. Thank you very much. Michael's call reminds me of a clip that we pulled from This American Life from 1998 about the road trip that a traveler went on after his mom died, searching for answers on the open road. He said that he kept waiting for a revelation to come, but it never did.
That was what I kept
feeling was like, am I feeling something? Am I experiencing something?
Really? Like, you feel like, okay, I'm on this big road trip. I'm supposed to have a revelation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I was hoping that I would, yeah, be somewhere. I'd step out of the car and experience the grandeur of the place and just be like, yeah, this is what life is. And, like, this is, like, my mom dying. And this is, like, where I am in my life. And, like, you know, but it didn't happen like that.
You heard Michael, Jamie Jensen. Tell us what you've learned about yourself out on the open road.
Oh, gosh, that reminded me of my closest to an existential moment. And it was on the loneliest road that one of the callers was recommending, US 50 across Nevada, which follows the route of the old Pony Express. And I was driving it on a full moon, by design on a full moon, but listening to one of the AM clear stations coming in from Arizona that was Navajo chanting in the middle, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were alternating between Navajo chanting and Jimi Hendrix psychedelia. And it was in the full moon, and there's me and the road and this huge landscape and nobody else around. And if you ever want to kind of feel what, yes, this is your life and you're here in this, you know, huge galaxy of experiences that, you know, past and future, that was my sort of moment where I thought, wow, this is something. I mean, it's not something that you can tell anyone else to go and have this, you know, it's not a consumer product, but it was one of those things that on the road, you get these moments sometimes where just a certain song reminds you of something, you have a meal that reminds you of, you know, your family, whatever. And these sort of, it's unexpected, but they happen all the time. And that's why I think people keep taking road trips, is because, you know, when you get away from your normal 9-to-5 grind, you are more aware and more open to all your senses and all your memories. And it can really be quite a powerful experience.
On Facebook, we asked, if you had a full tank of gas and an open-ended schedule, what's your ultimate road trip? Inez says, I do all the national parks, north, south, east, and west, just crawl across the country. Lori says, I'd drive from Austin, Texas, up to Maine. I'd hit Vermont, Connecticut, New Hampshire, go in the fall to see the changing leaves, stop and visit friends, especially Massachusetts. I'd end up at Acadia National Park. Here's Patty in Williamson, Virginia. Georgia, excuse me. Patty, you're in Georgia. Welcome. You're on the air. Hi.
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 Hi, Jane. I know you all are talking about mainland USA, but my most memorable road trip that my husband and I took was the road to Hana from the main town on Maui.
Yes, Maui. Yeah.
Hawaii.
Yep.
To Hana, you can never go more than 10 or 15 miles an hour. The views are incredible. The ocean, cliffs, isolated beaches, black sand beaches, waterfalls, little stands to stop and buy fruit or ice cream. And Hana itself is just charming. Small town America with a real exotic flair.
Patty, thank you.
Okay.
What she said, I did it. I agree 100%. Jamie Jensis, take us back to a couple of other places. Glacier National Park. You say that going to the Sun Road in Montana's Glacier National Park is perhaps the world's most scenic drive. What about it?
It's certainly got to be on anybody's list. It's just amazing. And it's carved into the Northern Rockies as you go over the crest of the Continental Divide. It was first carved out, I think, in the 1920s. And it's slow and narrow, but absolutely beautiful. You know, there's a 1,000-foot cliff. It's like Big Sur, but with trees instead of waves around you. And it takes you, you know, you feel like you're on top of the world. And there's a beautiful, beautiful wildflower meadow at the top on the Continental Divide, which is, you know, has bighorn sheep. I actually had a crazy experience there where I'd driven all night to get there to watch the sunrise, fell asleep and woke up surrounded by a herd of bighorn sheep, which are big beasts when you're seeing them up close. So those are the kind of things that I didn't plan, but it was a fabulous drive. And another drive that's kind of the mainland equivalent of the road to Hana is that the Overseas Highway down in Florida, which is basically an elevated causeway. And it has a crazy history. It was built as a railroad from Miami to Key West. And then in the 1930s, a big hurricane came and washed away the railroad. And they couldn't figure out what to do. Should they rebuild it? And decided to rebuild it as a highway. And it is just a spectacular drive. It's like you're just kind of skimming. It's like a hydroplane across the Atlantic. And it's absolutely beautiful, you know, tropical seas and, you know, little fish bars along the way. And that's another, you know, fantastic drive to go and have, especially in the when it's winter up north, to head down to Florida and drive the Overseas Highway to Key West. And soon you'll probably be able to continue on down to Havana like they used to. So it's the world changes, but there's some wonders out there for sure.
Here's Mary Lou in Tanawanda, New York. Hi, Mary Lou. Welcome.
Hi.
In
the late 60s, I took a road trip with two other families, each with our own car, and we made this work by choosing a campsite where we were going to stop that night, and then each person took their own time and did their own route, and then we all ended up at the same place at night. And the couple without children got there first, and they would get it all ready for us, and then the rest of us with children took our own routes and arrived at different times, having had our own experience, but always being together at the end of the day.
What a great idea, Mary Lou. I appreciate you calling and sharing it. Thank you. Paul Brady, young adults are the fastest growing segment in the $2 trillion U.S. travel industry. How are they changing the Great American Road Trip?
Well, first of all, I think that Mary Lou's idea of having this sort of group road trip where everybody does their own thing is a remarkable one, and something that I think young people and, you know, that big M millennials group would really do well to embrace. You know, the idea that you can have your independent trip and still get together at the end of the day and swap stories and swap photos and share the sort of history of what you did during that day is a really great one. And, you know, talking about campsites, it's gotten easier than ever, I think, to find the place where you want to stay using online booking. You know, even campgrounds at national parks, state parks these days, you can reserve ahead of time online. So it takes all of that friction out of it and makes it even easier. And I think that as young people, you know, get a little bit more money and a little bit more time off and are able to go on these journeys, they realize that the digital tools as well as the sort of real world experience are making this such a compelling option that you can just hop in the car and go.
Jamie Jensen, I think it was you who wrote that road trips are like a good book. The journey is more important than the destination. Tell us what it is about the road trip that's made it into our national psyche.
Well, I think it does sort of – it's how the country developed. I mean, there are these paths, whether it's not so much cars, but the immigrant trails, the exploration, the slow movement across the continent. It's part of our psyche, I think, this idea of being in motion. I mean, the Daniel Boone sort of mentality, who would always move if he could ever see the smokestack from his neighbor's chimney. He knew that was time to move west again. So he kind of embodies this idea that – there's excitement down the road, and I think, you know, music, Muddy Waters, Bob Dylan, it's just so deep in our brains, whether it's genetic or just something we absorb from birth, I don't know, but it is definitely a classic American experience.
Paul Brady, wrap us up here. There is still time, right? Tell our summer travelers what you recommend as far as a summer road trip.
Well, I would just say get out there while you can. You know, gas is very cheap now, more than 50 cents lower than it was last year. There's never been a better time than to go right now, and get out there and explore.
We go out with Route 66 about the famous Western Highway, sung here by Chuck Berry. My appreciation and thanks to Jamie Jensen, travel writer and author of Road Trip USA. Jamie, thank you very much. Great to have you today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And Paul Brady, senior editor at Condé Nast Traveler. Great advice from you, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you.
Continue the conversation, listeners. Get the podcast. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. Long live the American road trip. Have a great summer. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point. Your kicks.